All right, let's open the scriptures this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, who gives to us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58. So what a bit of exhortation this is from the Apostle Paul, writing to a fairly new congregation that in Corinth, and that church had many difficulties to face, and so there were many problems that the Apostle Paul deals with in this letter, and so there's much valuable teaching in this letter to the Corinthians. And we'll notice as he closes the letter, he is emphasizing the need for them, as he said, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So let's look at the subject of this text. As Paul said, be ye steadfast. Now, being steadfast means to be firmly situated, unchangeable in our life and work for the Lord. Now, this speaks of an unchangeable commitment to the Lord. And so this is one of the things that is so essential to the life of the believer. One who has been born again, who's being committed to the Lord, now as a child of God and a servant of God, it is essential to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What a challenge this is for all believers. And should this not be our goal? Surely. Now, there's so much in which the Scriptures emphasize the necessity of steadfastness. For example, in Colossians, Paul tells us about the steadfastness in faith. In Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 4, we read, now this I say, lest any one should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness in your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. So you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now he adds, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Now, notice in verse 8 he said, beware. He's challenging them. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Well, there is a great deal of opposition to Christianity in our day, and all sorts. Now, we've been hearing a great deal lately about the opposition by Islam, how that they have so opposed the Christian life that they have even killed. They've murdered many Christians. And they have opposed the gospel, and therefore those countries dominated and ruled by Islamic people, they refuse to allow missionaries to come in with the gospel. So that is quite an opposition, but Satan has other ways. As Paul is expressing here, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty or vain deceit, according to tradition of men and according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So that's a great deal that people have to face even in our day. And notice in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul writes, I marvel that you, and remember he's writing to Christians in Galatia, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Some had been deceived, and some were turning away from these glorious truths that the Apostle Paul had shared with them in that area. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, Peter writes, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So here you see the emphasis is given here on the steadfastness of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just believing about him, indeed believing him, but believing and living in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we read there in Colossians, he said, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Walking him. This is a daily thing, a constant thing, walking in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we must be prepared to meet, as we see the exhortation here, we must be prepared to meet every attack of the wicked one. Now, Peter describes the devil as one going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, the destructive power of Satan is quite active in our day. But yet, he appears in other ways too. Sometimes he comes as a serpent, as a snake, to lure people into moral corruption. Satan likes to tempt people to get them to commit immorality, to live immorally. This is some of his strategy in order to cause a person to fall before the Lord and to lose his testimony for the Lord. And also, Satan not only appears as the serpent and as a lion, but the Apostle Paul explains to the Corinthians, he gives them a bit of warning here, that sometimes Satan appears as an angel of light to deceive people. He can, as someone might say, he may put on the garments of an angel or might appear as an angel. People would be very deceptive, wouldn't they? Be deceived by that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verses 13 and 14, Paul writes, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Why? So that he can deceive. So now you see why the emphasis is on being steadfast in the faith, in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, as the believer, as we read there in Colossians, that you therefore who have received Christ, so walk in him. Be steadfast in your profession, he is saying now. And so in Hebrews, we see the exhortation here through the word of how we're to be firm and steadfast in the faith and in our profession. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, we read, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." Or we might also use the word profession. That is, the profession of faith in him, that stand that we have made for him, since we know who he is and what he has done. So let us hold fast our confession or profession in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold fast to that firmly. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1:13, the Apostle Paul he speaks to Timothy, this young man who has committed his life to the Lord. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13, we read, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." So, the exhortation here to Timothy is also to hold fast the pattern of sound words. The pattern? Yes. That life of sound pattern, sound faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, to stand firm on the Word of God and not allow anyone or anything to distort the Word. But to stand fast. That is our guidance, isn't it? The Word of God is our light. And we need to constantly walk in it. Now, for example, how sometimes the Word of God has been abused and violated by some. Now, we know how essential, for example, the term born again. What did Jesus say to Nicodemus? You must be born again. That is essential. Well, now, that's wonderful. We agree with that 100%. But here in just recent years, I've heard of this term born again used by major athletes. For example, the National Football League, I think, I don't remember who it was now, a fellow who was supposed to become a much better player referred to this as being born again. He wasn't talking about a spiritual growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about being a new athlete. But that's the way some of this terminology is used in our day. Not only used, but we should say abused. So we need to stand fast and firm in the Word. By that, we do not neglect the emphasis on being born again. But we must openly deny that terminology that's used unscripturally. And so, we should allow nothing to turn us from our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, we read, Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So by standing fast on it, the Lord will not turn aside from his commitment and what he has prepared for us. In fact, he has supplied to us the strength and the grace to hold fast our faith in the Lord Jesus. So Paul is saying, or the writer of the Hebrews, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Now, what would cause it to waver? If we allow the opposition of the world, worldliness, or worldly people to so come against us, try to emphasize worldly teaching and worldly manner of life and worldly philosophy, we stand on the Word of God. So he's saying, hold fast and don't allow those things to have any effect. Now, there's other emphasis we can give on holding fast to these glorious truths of God's Word. For example, in Acts chapter 2 and 42, notice what the writer Luke says. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. He's talking about the new believers now, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that was established on the day of Pentecost. A great multitude believed and trusted the Lord. And so he's saying they continued steadfastly in what? What did they continue steadfastly in? The apostles' doctrine or teaching. These men were inspired of God to proclaim the Word of God. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ told his apostles before he ascended into heaven? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of all the nations. And how do they do that? Through the Word of God. Now, there are some who oppose the terminology of doctrine today. That's weird, isn't it? Because the doctrine, now if you're talking about just the doctrine, some doctrines established by man, oh, okay. But we're talking about the teaching of the apostles as they bore the Word of God, as they're communicating to us the Word of God through the Holy Scriptures. And so these people that Luke is commending said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. Well, that is an important portion of God's Word. Doesn't that exhort us and encourage us in our Christian life and stand for the Lord? And so we are to continue to hold fast in our confidence in the Lord. For example, in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6, we read, but Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast to the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. And down to verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. You see, these people to whom the writer of the Hebrews is writing were undergoing tremendous pressures and opposition from the Jewish race who were still opposing Christianity, as it were, opposing the Word of God. Who was it that bore great responsibility in the Lord being crucified? Who was it that came to Pilate and said, crucify him? It was the leadership among the Jews. And so, as the word of God is being spread, the gospel being preached in various areas in the world at that time, there was opposition. And you see a great deal of that that's reflected here, not only in the book of Acts, but as in the writing of, like, the epistle to the Hebrews. They're being exhorted to hold fast to the word of God. And so, here we see in these verses that they are, says, we're to hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm to the end. They're revealing the Lord Jesus Christ here and said, stand firm in him. And so, they're to hold fast. We're to hold fast to the proof of our salvation. Holding fast to the proof of our salvation. That is, to the glorious work of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he explained in verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Are we truly established in the Lord? Okay. Hold fast. Partakers of Christ. Hold fast firm to the end. So this is a matter of, when we're talking about being born again, becoming children of God, a new life, a life from above. And so now, our end, our hope, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the exhortation is to be steadfast. Now notice what all is involved here. We think of being able to carry out God's plan for us in our lives. Why does God save sinners and give them a new life? Obviously, God has a purpose. Now, for his purpose in mankind from the beginning, it failed. We go back to Genesis, and what do we see in the life of Adam and Eve? Right from the beginning, disobedience to God, sinning against God. And what do we see in their offspring? What did Cain do to his brother Abel? Both were sons of Adam and Eve. And what did Cain do to his brother Abel? He murdered him, didn't he? See, from the offspring, there's manifestation of sin. And so we see that sin growing all down through the human race. So it's no wonder then the scriptures refer to, as in Adam, all die. As through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death is passed into all, for all have sinned. So man has, when God created man, he didn't create him to be a sinner and one to be disobedient to God, but rather he created man to be obedient unto him, to carry out his plan for creation. Now, since man has so terribly failed, what is God's design today? We remembered the Lord Jesus this morning in his glorious work of salvation. Now, that was not only to save our souls from hell, that's of great value to be sure, but we've been created in Christ Jesus for good works. Let us turn to Ephesians. We see that God has a purpose in our salvation, not only for the future eternity, but for here and now. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That is, you can't work out your way of salvation. But verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So what's the stated purpose here? We've been created in Christ Jesus for good works. So that's His design and purpose for the Christian. We've been created for good works. He has a purpose for good works. Well, what He's revealing here is the opposite of the works of the world, which is so full of selfishness and even in opposition to God. Now notice also in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul writes, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men." So here is the design purpose, as we see emphasis on here. Involved in good works, walking in good works, in order that we might glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, let's notice what the Lord Jesus says here. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27. "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to his works." So then, the Lord is not just going to ignore the good works of His people. As a matter of fact, He's going to reward the believers, His children, His servants, for their good works. So remember, we've been created in Christ Jesus, what? Just to save us from hell? Well, indeed, it has done that, but for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So here, notice that the apostle said, "Be you steadfast, unmovable, always" what? "Abounding" in what? "In the works of the Lord." So what should be our goal? God, whom we serve, should be the one for whom we labor. Do all things for His glory. There ought to be a goal and a purpose in all that we do. Now, if we're doing it in His name and for His glory, it will surely be, as led by the Holy Spirit, it will be good works. The things that God would classify as good. Reaching out and ministering to others in various ways. Now, we are indeed to stand fast in light of the Lord's coming, so that no one will take that crown and reward that we were talking about. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11, as the Lord's committing this letter to the church of Philadelphia, says, "Behold, I am coming quickly." Notice the exhortation. "Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." Hold fast of all that we have been speaking of here in steadfastness. Hold fast to all that He says, so that no one can take your crown. Or the crown, that's reward. He's talking about a reward here. He is going to reward his children, his servants. There's coming a reward. Let's look at the last chapter in Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 12. The Lord Jesus said, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. So the Lord Jesus is not ignoring the lives and the work of the people whom he has redeemed. So in order to walk in obedience to him and to accomplish the things that he desires for us, his work which he has designed, he is concerned about that, and so much that says he will reward everyone according to the works. Now, this will be a great eternal blessing. So remember then this verse that we've used as a text this morning. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not worthless. There are a lot of people who seem to think that for the believer who is out here just committed to the work of the Lord, since the world doesn't adore such a one and compliment such a one, they think it's a waste of time. You know, the world looks upon Christians living the life for the Lord and being faithful in attending the worship and service meetings of the church. The world thinks, oh, they're a bunch of useless people. What do they get? What are they going to gain? They just spend their time there and that kind of thing. To the world, they think it's useless and worthless. Well, we don't want to let the world influence us. As the Apostle Paul said there in Colossians, we'll close with looking back to this verse once again. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, he said, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now notice the awareness. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the public principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Remember that in Christ is all things, and may our lives be holy for him in Christ. Our Father in heaven, how we do thank you for the greatness of your love and purpose through the Lord Jesus Christ in saving our souls from sin, death, and hell, and to call us into a work that would bring glory and honor unto your holy name. So, Father, we just pray that you'll help us to be conscious of our need of living for and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we will avoid the temptations and the trials and the pressures of the world to turn aside from serving you as we ought. So we do thank you for your precious word. May we hold fast to your word and walk in the word in obedience and with great joy in spite of all the opposition that we may have from the evil one. So again, we thank you now for this time around the Word. Ask that you bless it to our good and grant that we might walk in obedience unto your Word. We ask in our Savior's lovely name. Amen.